Following was recorded in someone's basement. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Outsider Show, The Pro Show! With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote. Take it away, guys! Hey everyone, I'm Kyle.
And my name's Mark.
And you're listening to the Pro Wrestling Outsiders Show.
Are we too sweeting yet?
Oh, do we too sweet? Should we one sweet? We don't get sued.
Well, they can't see us doing it, so
can
technically...
Can we no sweet it?
No sweet. All right, no sweet me.
So today we have an interesting show because unfortunately WWE is not playing nice. So, today's show, we are going to review AEW's Dynamite on TNT. And then we're going to talk about, well, what we can for the Hell in a Cell preview.
Yeah, with the one match that's announced so far.
Three matches.
Oh, three
and
matches.
And then we'll probably just talk about what we think is going to fill out the rest of the card. And then we'll move on from there.
Yeah, so of course, spoiler alert, we're about to talk about what happened yesterday. So if you haven't watched AEW Dynamite, I guess pause this or skip to later and or just wait to listen to this podcast until you're done watching it. But we're going to break it down, and I'm excited to break it down because I have a lot of feelings about that
Ooh.
Show.
Ooh, it sounds like me and the Undertaker feelings. All right, so never going to end it. All right, we'll be back after the short break with AEW's Dynamite.
Oh, I'm ready. She'll never fall in love.
The following segment contains spoilers. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you very much for waiting.
Oh yeah.
As the audio clip, or the breaks music, whatever you want to call it, courtesy of Zoo Legacy. Still looking out for some new music if you want to get in on board. But also, there is going to be some spoilers, so we wanted to give you an opportune time to move down the list or hold off.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna dig into this one.
So, Mark is fired up.
Real deep.
Fired up.
I'm fired up!
About AEW's Dynamite. So, let's start with the first question, Mark. What do you think of the name Dynamite on TNT?
So, obviously, it's a play off words. It has to be.
Yeah.
But I just feel that, I don't know. Number one, it's hard to take it seriously because it's such a play off word. Mm-hmm. Number two, my biggest thing is you don't need a name yet because you don't have multiple shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, their pay-per-views have had different names, All In, All Out, All This, All That. Cool. But, Raw, SmackDown, Superstars, Saturday Night, Main Event.
Right.
They all that had different stuff. Shows. Exactly. So I just feel that they could have easily just promoted it as such. You know, All Elite Wrestling on TNT. Welcome to All Elite Wrestling on TNT. You know, live, Wednesday nights. You know, I don't know. So, but once again, that's nitpicking. I'm not a big fan of the name, I guess. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to last.
No.
I think it really does hinder the ability to grow the brand because you're associating now Dynamite with TNT. You're not associating with AEW.
It's true. That's true.
I will tell you, I didn't mind the opening of the show. I didn't mind the music. I didn't mind the kind of multicolored kind of explosion, paintball explosion things that they were using behind
their version of pyro.
Yeah, like yeah. I didn't really mind that.
Did you also see Raw?
Oh, I noticed.
Got pyro back.
Oh, I noticed.
Oh yeah.
Well, they got money to burn.
Yeah.
So no, I was okay with that. Yeah, I just for me the name it's too associated with TNT and not enough with AEW specifically.
No, for sure. And you know, even just to kind of, you know, and I think what would be good is let's just kind of carry through how the night went. And once again, I'm going to preface this by no means am I saying, because I'm going to be pretty, I'm going to critique this, because I'm a passionate wrestling fan. And no means am I saying that I could have done it better or we could have done it better no. or that I always have, you know, like a necessarily a better option. I'll try to explain ways that I would have, because I know you and I are very big on that philosophy. You know, if we don't like something, we don't want to just sit here and just say thumbs up, thumbs down. We want to also say, here's how it could have been better,
mm-hmm.
and here's why. But even right from the kickoff, you know, 13 minutes before the show was to kick off at 8 o'clock, they had a little backstage, you know, the Young Bucks going in the back, and Young Bucks and Kenny, and... You know, and you know, thank you to who it was that corrected me on Twitter, because then I did say, like, I must have missed something. Apparently, the night before it was
correct.
Announced that it was going to be Ortiz and Santana.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be anyways.
Number one, why? Let it be a secret. Just let it be a secret. Why do we need to announce this? I get it. Some people could say, well, to for something to look forward to hype and get more eyes. But the whole point of mystery, it's been a mystery all the time leading up that you didn't know Kenny and the Young Bucks against Chris Jericho and mystery opponents. Why announce it the day before? Why not wait that one more 24 hour and let it be a secret when all of a sudden, you know, he throws his hand up and just kind of goes and then the theme music hits and everyone can pop?
You know, I had read about that it was going to be them. I also figured it was going to be them.
For sure, seeing as how they attacked them at the last event when they had their masks on.
Yeah,
so.
I also just didn't really understand the match leading into it. I don't know if we want to necessarily break down match by match, because I don't think we necessarily need to. I think there's enough to talk about in various matches, but... All in all, from the card itself, I didn't understand why the card existed. I felt like we were supposed to understand that there is these pre-built stories behind all these matches, yet unless you... I don't know if it was covered in being the Elite, but that can't be what you use to run your stories. You can't. You need to have the stories coming through on the show.
Yeah.
And so... I don't know why we had this the six-man tag match. It just didn't really make sense to me. I'm really having a hard time getting behind Jericho. I don't like the look. I just feel it doesn't have the same impact that he had when he was Y2J or, you know, even the List of Jericho. Like,
yeah, that's hard when you've had him already do so many great personas.
Yeah, this one just even his entrance lacks. It lacks that punch that other people have. So, that being said, I mean, I just felt like the card didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. So, what do you want to do? How do you want to break this
up? So, how about this? Let's just go over what, like, the card. How about this? I'll go over the amount of matches, which matches we saw, and let's just kind of just cruise through each of them. We don't necessarily say good match, good tackle, hip down, you know, toss and all that stuff. We could just kind of just say overall. So, number one, there was only 5 matches on a 2-hour show.
That's challenging. If it was a 1-hour show, I can get that.
Yeah.
Because even NXT, when they were doing the 1-hour, they were, I think, 4 matches, 5 right. at the most.
Yeah.
I get it. An hour, you're looking at 10-minute matches,
yeah.
some talking in between, because they were doing uninterrupted.
Exactly. So you had a bunch of commercial breaks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of... And don't get me wrong, yes, we understand this is their first live television show. Now, however, they're on TNT. TNT knows television. So I'm going to give them a little bit of slack, but at the same time, I'm going to take a little back, too. So those matches were... So Cody versus Sammy Guevara.
Which he stated that if he lost, he was going to give Sammy Guevara the title match at Full Gear.
Yes, so...
Still didn't understand, though, why he got the title match at Full Gear in the first place.
Right. It's one of those things where he got you know, it didn't really understand or describe why Cody. Now, don't get me wrong, since the beginning, Cody's been on a win streak. You know yeah. what I mean? So, and AEW's big thing was wins and losses and all that stuff. So, but at the same time, once again, missed opportunity. You have all these, you know, supposed great top talents. Where was there an opportunity to determine a number one contender?
Yeah.
You know, there was none of that. It was more so Cody's going to be the next one to get a shot. And then, of course, after that, you had Brandon Cutler versus MJF, which kind of made sense in a little bit if you're following the Being the Elite. You had Pac versus Hangman, which, once again, that one in itself was, you know, that made sense. That yeah. had a little bit of a story
to it. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Then, of course, you had your, you know, your build for AEW Women's Championship with Nyla Rose versus Rio. And then the main event, fifth match, Kenny and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and, you know, the announced mystery opponents, Ortiz and Santana.
Okay.
So, number one, they talked a lot of big stuff walking into what are we going to do? What's going to be different? And they talked about a lot more wrestling, less talk.
Yep.
I feel that they definitely did not back up that statement. You know, you saw a lot of, you know, for everything that people critique WWE for doing, they did.
Yeah, you know, because they're all products of WWE.
100%.
With the exception of Excalibur, but...
Exactly. So it was really, really tough to kind of get that filler and everything else in, you know? It's... Because, sorry, where they could have filled in more with matches, they filled it with what I feel very bad, you know, like interlude and timing in between. So...
So, I mean, for me, I think that, like, when you look at the commentary, I'm gonna hold off final judgment on Dynamite as a show until three or four shows in, get the ball rolling. Commentary included. JR and Tony Schiavone mentioned a couple times the history of TNT wrestling, which everyone knows is WCW. Tony didn't say WCW. JR, I don't think, cared and said it anyways.
Yep.
It felt like Tony was trying not to. I still run into a problem that they're doing the same job.
So good that you brought that up, because that was one thing that I was very aware on. So number one, great to see Tony back.
Yeah,
Tony,
I love Tony's voice.
Tony's voice is great. He also looks great. Tony's lost, I think it's 80 pounds in the last year. Like, he was a very big boy, you know, for a while, kind of doing his baseball commentary and just really nothing else out of being outside of wrestling. So he's done fantastic to get that original Tony Schiavone look. So if, as I read it right, you know, Tony and JR played color and Excalibur was more the play by play.
Really? I didn't catch that. How,
so really the, what was happening in the match now, but here's where the disconnect was in my mind. Tony and JR were conversing and telling a story.
Yep.
Excalibur was making nothing but statements.
Right.
Like, there was at one point where, you know, like, it was after that weird SCU segment with Phoenix and Pentagon.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, like, what do you think about all of this? And instead of going, like, the whole point is for them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
In a way that resonates to the fans. Be informative, tell that story, paint a picture. But he never would reply to Tony or Jim. It was always, well, you know, this night, tonight, on Wednesday, it was always cutting a promo.
Yeah.
Cutting a promo. And I felt that really jive. And once again, I know we've talked about this before, you know, to JR, Excalibur, like, who are these guys? You know, it's like, the Dark Order. It's like, no, but who are these guys?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
So I'm going to...
Canadian independent wrestling. Like,
yeah.
He's missing the keys.
So I'm going to give them time. I will give them time to figure out each other's out.
Sure.
It's the same thing with, like, you know, when they had, like, I want to know how are they going to move their stories along. Are we going to see vignettes? Are we going to see backstage interviews? Are we going to see, or are they really going to push all the Elite to push their stories? Because I don't really like that idea. You know, I think there's room for me to understand. I just felt like Tony and JR were trying to do the same job, but they always do the same job. And I feel like they don't complement each other. I felt like I love Tony Schiavone as your play-by-play guy. It was the only other problem, though, was I had a feeling like this was WCW Nitro. That was their attempt. The fact that you could always tell the difference between Monday Night Raw and WCW Monday Night Nitro because even the camera quality was different. The WWF and WWE has a very polished look to their camera.
Yep.
WCW doesn't, and neither does AEW. Right. So I feel like TNT was trying to replicate WCW from back in the heyday,
yeah.
Including some of the commentary. Tony's voice, both good and bad, is WCW.
Oh, yes.
So I don't mind it. I love it. And in fact, him and Mike today, I would love that because I think they could still sell the same product. I agree, though, that Excalibur hasn't figured out what he's supposed to be doing. The thing is, they don't have a performance center to improve these guys, to help them practice through things. They're constantly just going from show to show, learning on the fly, which is both good and bad. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there's still opportunity, there's still room for them to grow, so I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to figure that out.
For sure. So, but my big thing is, once again, and critiquing the crap out of it, Excalibur was throwing everyone off. That's for me. If it was just Tony and JR, that would have been great. You know, because they were very much bringing the history of the reason. Why are we watching what we're watching? Because that's what color and play-by-play is. Why are we watching this? What and the how. You know, sorry, like the what, and then Excalibur is supposed to be the how. How are they, what are they doing in the ring?
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be a band, and every time, I don't know, and I know we're beating a dead horse here, but every time it was, he's cutting a promo, it was almost like he was talking to someone else. It was too scripted, it was too, where Tony and Jer was very relaxed, like, we're here, like, let's do this, guys, a new era. Oh, wow, Cody, like, yes, this, and that, and it was always like, oh my god, look over here, I got Cody Rhodes, like, it was just too much of, it's my turn, I say this. I think Excalibur needs to just chill out a bit, and just relax, and number one, too. Like, and I'm not saying, obviously, I don't know, I'm not behind there, I don't know these guys, but I've heard, and you can kind of hear JR express, you know, he's very much expressed on his podcast, Grilling JR, he's not a fan of the three-man booth, and that when he's asked about, like, how are things going with the dynamic, it's, they're trying. So I almost feel like, what is that? You know, is that Excalibur, being very resistant to being better or taking the advice? I'm going to do my thing my way. And number two, take the damn mask off. Like,
I know it's hard.
It's because distracting. It's dumb. It doesn't do anything for you. It brings the wrong attention to the announce table. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
If this was like, I would say that if you're looking at like AAA, looking at Lucha Wrestling.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
But you're right. It doesn't, when you're wearing a sport coat a la WCW old school, you know, perhaps Dusty Rhodes days, then yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, I just felt like they need to figure it out and they're going to have to do it quickly. It's not just, unlike with that other guy, it's not destroying the performance.
No. It's not, no, by no means, but I think it's, you know, when we talk about why Tony and why JR, when we say those cliche things like voice of my childhood, it's because I can sit here for hours and I can quote things that JR said, not because they were cool things to say in the moment. It's because he helped me connect.
That's right.
You know, it was like the first time when Stone Cold, you know, stunned Vince McMahon and took the worst stunner in the world. You know, it was JR going like his approach of, oh my God, what is he doing? And especially too, like before that point, even though yes, he was always, but it was never recognized that Vince McMahon was the owner of WWE.
That's right.
And very much like that's the owner. Like it's just how he's positioning things. If we just muted commentary and watched wrestling and we never heard them, we'd be so lost.
That's right.
You know, but they help. It's the soundtrack. And I just think Excalibur needs to chill out, go with it, hype us up for what's happening in the ring, especially in this new day age of wrestling where there's so much new stuff and one thing has 50,000 names for everything. He needs to utilize a way to make these moves our AEW moves, and this is what we call it here. And he calls, like, it's either a Canadian destroyer or he calls it whatever that sunrise thing. Like, depends on who's doing it. It's a different name. Like inconsistencies. I know we're driving way too much on this now, but yeah, I would just say hopefully in time we'll see more and more growth. Because this is the first time the three of them have done something. Yep. So we do have to give them the benefit of that doubt.
Yeah.
However, yeah.
So I found one thing I found really interesting in the first part. So Cody's entrance came in. Not surprising, yet somehow surprising to me. He came out to his own style of entrance. He was the only one who came through the top for the bottom.
Yep.
As much as it's supposed to be, you know, the Elite's wrestling show, it still feels like it's Cody's show.
Yeah. Same thing with Triple H.
Yeah.
He always has the best unique entrance. Yeah.
So, you know, him and Brandy came out. I just can't get behind Brandy when it comes to anything wrestling. No. And then, you know, I think
it's the clothes she wears too sometimes.
Yeah, and then Sammy Guevara came out. And
oh my god, the panda outfit.
It just feels like it's still lacking the connection with the crowd. But so we had this match and it had a lot of good spots. It had some rough spots, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it. And then they cut to commercial, or first Tony comes and he does his whole, whatever. And, nice to see you. Give you a kiss on the cheek. Thanks for much. You did a great job. Whisper in his ear. And then they cut to commercial as Chris Jericho is attacking Cody Rhodes.
Yep.
And that was a long commercial break.
Very long commercial
break. And there was a lot of what turns out to be an important moment in this story.
Yes.
Because it goes to show what lengths Chris Jericho will do to make sure that he keeps his title.
100%.
And I just felt like this is bad timing.
Yep.
Your commercials are already preset. You're telling this story. This is not the moment to have Chris go and demo Cody in a small, tiny box on the side.
Yep.
And so that one, I was like, oh, this is a miss.
Yep.
I'm all bad for timing. The picture-in-picture. Bad timing. 100% all for it. I think it's the best option. And in fact, I think any sporting event should do picture-in-picture because it does keep people going.
Yep. Well, but I think the hard thing is picture. So Bischoff went over it the other week. You have to get the sponsor behind it.
Yeah.
Because some sponsors do feel that it takes away from them.
But what's funny, because
they keep watching the show.
Right. But what's funny is because the audio is in the commercial, and let's be honest, you don't actually need to watch something in a commercial to know what's going on.
No.
Hence how radio works.
For sure.
But they're more likely to stay watching your commercial if you keep the action in the corner than you are if you completely turn it off.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, when you're going to do that, it needs to be basic moves, basic conversation. It can't be...
It needs to be a lull in the match. Yeah.
Right, and it needs to be intentional. The referee goes, hey guys, commercial break.
Drop down hip toss.
Let's start... Yeah. Oh, a lot of holds, a lot of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Not going out and destroying somebody and then coming back and it's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
And so that was for sure. That was something I noticed. Yeah. And then, you know, going through. So I thought that was one of the things they're going to have to work on. You mentioned something about the women's title belt.
It's tiny.
It is tiny.
Tiny as shit.
How did you feel about Rio being your first champion?
It made no sense why both of them were in that match. Don't get me wrong. And then the question comes, well, who should have been in the match?
I don't know.
This is your marquee stuff. Be a Priestley.
Well,
even though, once again, ready or not ready, timing or no timing, and I get it, she wasn't in for the Battle Royal time. I just feel that, like, Nyla, for like months, I'm talking when they were first just having pay-per-views and AEW on TNT wasn't even a thing. You know, it's like Nyla's big beast, and they buried her. You know, like, she couldn't win for the life of her. But now all of a sudden she wins the Battle Royal because of a technicality.
Yeah.
You know, because Bea Priestley held Britt Baker's arm and she went over. And then you had two individuals. A little
Hogan style with Sid Vicious.
A little Sid Vicious Hogan style flair in 1992.
Yeah.
And then Rio and the other girl in a match. Once again, like, this is why storytelling is important. They never told me why, though, Rio and the other girl
got their opportunity.
Why did they get that opportunity?
Absolutely.
There could have even been a match, a fatal four-way, another battle royal, or an elimination or whatever to determine. I get it. It's the beginning. You don't have women talent, female talent, like, hanging off the roofs yet. And you're still building and everything else. But number one, I wasn't behind it because I don't know who these people are, and they didn't do a good job at telling me who they were.
Yep.
The match was very sloppy.
Yep.
In general. You know, lots of botches, lots of slips, you know, very much of, yes, a big woman versus a smaller woman. But again, then Rio winning, doesn't even make sense why she won or how she got to that position to win.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course, then Kenya, I know we're getting ahead, but then Kenya, like, after, then she keeps freaking out and storming and beating everyone up, and then Kenny comes out and, before he was supposed to come out.
Because apparently, like, he and Rio were tag partners.
Apparently they got Japan. History. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Kenny endorsed and all that stuff. And I don't know, just everything.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was an odd one. You haven't really sold us on who is the leader of the women's division. Rio can't speak English. So, to break it down, I thought what would have made more sense, fine if you want to go with Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose versus Awesome Kong. Awesome Kong is an established wrestler that everyone knows.
Yeah.
Even if you let Nyla beat Awesome Kong, that's fine. But you're getting an established wrestler. They've had beef in their little stories. I can get behind that, and I think Awesome Kong can carry the match to where it needs to go.
No, that's true. That would have been a much better option.
You have Brandy involved. If she's trying to be the heel executive, get her in the mix, whatever. That's fine. I'm behind that. I agree the belt is tiny, and I think it's going to look awkward whenever Nyla Rose gets it.
If she gets it, that'll look very,
you know what it reminds me of? It actually awkward. Reminds me of the first WWE women's belt. Terms of, like,
so, 90s or before?
Moolah,
Mae Young? Yeah. Okay.
Like, where it's really tiny.
Yeah.
Because they were tiny women.
Yes.
But they're not tiny women anymore.
No.
Except for Ryu, who's, like, 30 pounds and 4'8", which was also part of the problem. She was doing these double stomps, and Nyla Rose, even if she tried, couldn't even flinch when she was getting stomped
on. That one botch where she double stomped on her back, and all she did was get up and, like, camel hump her up, and then she just flopped to the floor.
Yeah.
It was like, why even do any?
So the double stomp, I'm not a big fan of it anyways, but I think there, you can't have an 80-pound person doing a double stomp expecting it to be...
No.
And even, what's funny is, even JR called out, whether intentional or not, they said that Nyla Rose was 180 pounds, and he was like, there is no way she's 180 pounds.
I'm no,
like, you've literally no just way. Said that anything Ryu does isn't going to make any sense.
No, 100%. And on top of the two, you know, and once again, like, it's so funny how the women's has this ungodly tiny. Number, it did not look that tiny when they revealed it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was just in this glass box thing. But then when the ref, ref who's, like, smaller than you and I, is holding it and, like, just pinching on it on each side.
Yeah.
It looks something that would be, like, in the palm of our hands.
Yeah.
So I think, and then you have this massive, biggest AEW men's title, which is even too big at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have done...
It could have been the exact same, like WWE.
Yeah.
Universal.
You can world, do it slightly female, smaller just so it doesn't look awkward
a
on a female.
Bit, 100%. A little bit smaller, but still big.
Yeah.
Enough where you put that sucker on the shoulder. So it's like when Becky Lynch puts that on her shoulder. Becky Lynch isn't this huge female. I think she's like 5'6", 5'7", or something. But when she puts that title on, it's nice, just big enough where it showcases a champion.
Yeah.
You know, when Bayley holds it, when Sasha holds it, like tiny women, even when Charlotte holds it, it's big enough. But it's the same, but a little bit more. More of a, like, I do love the women's title, like the white with either the blue or the red.
Yeah.
Perfect. You know, but it should have been the exact same as the men's, just a little bit in the sense how big the men's is.
Yeah.
But a little bit of a smaller version to show it doesn't matter which title you have. If you have this one for the women and this one for the men, you are equal. You are the top of your division.
Yeah.
Not this tiny little, I don't know.
Dainty.
It was so bad.
And then I didn't understand the thing after. I did. So, first of all, I don't know who the guy was they interviewed.
Nakazawa. That doesn't Michael
help
Nakazawa.
Me. That doesn't help me.
The guy, the you're not watching. You're being in the elites.
I'm definitely not watching.
So
elites.
Matt,
but that's the problem.
Matt Jack, no, 100%. To your point earlier, if you don't watch this, you seemingly aren't up to date. Which that can't be that way when you're telling a story. And once again, first show, okay. But Michael Nakazawa is essentially this person who they did not want to sign. Matt Jackson was a stupid thing that they did, like Michael Nakazawa.
Okay, yeah, I remember that now.
You know what I mean? But yeah, he's the guy where he just greases himself up. Yeah, and okay. Pours grease on
I didn't
himself.
Know that was that guy.
And, yeah, so
I didn't know that guy full wearing full yeah. clothes that he was the same
and at
guy.
At first, he comes out and he's like, "I want to talk to you and do interview to you."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, why is Michael Nakazawa out here? You just had earlier. You had Chris Van Vliet." Who is an amazing independent interviewer?
Was he the one with the weird segment with Silent Bob, Jade Silent Bob?
Yes,
that was a weird segment.
Weird segment, but Chris Van Vliet, mwah,
yeah,
great pick of him. And what's her name? The girl that
is he the one from that's dating Trey Miguel?
I think so. That did some fun impact.
Yeah, she was here. What is her name? Alice or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she came to the C4 show.
You know, she's great.
Yeah.
And Chris Van Vliet, especially to number one, if you haven't checked out his YouTube channel with some of the great wrestler interviews he does, it's great. It's great. But yeah, like it's just, he comes out and, you know, and at first I'm like, why the hell is Michael Nakazawa out here? It doesn't fit. Doesn't make sense. I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to speak the language or something.
And then,
instantly, boom. And then clearly the whole thing was Nia. It would almost seem like Nyla, was, it's almost like she's going to be in the men's division or something now, you know, beating up men. And
the whole
Nia Jax-ish.
You took your inaugural women's title and just told us it's insignificant.
Yeah.
Because she didn't really get a celebration.
She's the first one. Let her celebrate.
Yeah.
Get out of the ring. If you want to have revenge next week on Wednesday, sure. Come out, cut a promo. Good way to, for the lack of English, maybe she comes out trying to, you know, like, oh, thank you, I'm so happy. And then cut her right off and just be like, no, you know what? That's bull.
You don't
play with it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a fun gimmick where every time she tries to talk, she gets cut off.
Yeah.
Who knows? But then Kenny comes out and everything. But yeah, no, just let her, like, have some confetti come down. Just let her celebrate. First ever female. But to go back and to kind of, I know we've been talking about this part for a little bit now, but, you know, I'm really happy that a lot of this wasn't all, you know, oh my God, they have all these titles and oh my God, you know, and we haven't seen yet, you know, are the Young Bucks going to be the first tag team champions? I hope not. You know, none of the Being the Elite was the first world champion. None of the Being the Elite was the first women's champion. Okay. But they're allowed to utilize their namesake celebrity and superstardom to increase, you know, like increase their exposure.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen, and especially too, like, you don't need this, like, battle royal to this match. No. If anything, okay, you know what? On this night, we're going to crown a female star. All-female battle royal, winner wins. Or Fatal 4-Way. It's going to be Penelope Ford, Britt Baker, Bea Priestley, and, oh my God, Cody,
Brandy.
Brandy. You know, those four. You know what I mean? And maybe Brandy doesn't win, for sure, because you don't want everyone, it's all being the elite. They started the company, or Tony Khan started the company, for them to all be champions in. You know, it's a way for it to, you know, come together and showcase superstardom. And all these other people we don't know, let them build up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because everywhere needs a up here where all the champions and people that want to be number one contenders are, and then the middle of the pack down here where everyone's trying to become that next part.
Yeah, so I know that Cody talked about this is a show for wrestling fans, not for the general public. That's great. But not, you want to make money, you got to get your general public in, which means you got to sell your people that people know. And then bring them in and then expose them to the rest of your talent. And the other thing I thought was, you know, well, we beat this women's match to a, you know, to a pulp. Britt Baker coming out and
contributed nothing to that.
I felt bad. I felt bad for her. I felt like there was probably no practice. There was probably no prep. It was just like, hey, we want a female out there for our first match. You know, because you're the head of the women, perceived head of the women's division. You go out there and she said four things. And at one point in time, it was very obvious that they were, like, trying to get her to speak. Yes. And obviously she
wasn't. Brett, what do you think about this? Yeah, pretty good. Like, just.
Yeah, I hope to also be out there one day competing. Yes. You know, when he thanked her, like, obviously she wasn't comfortable. So that, to me, was a mistake.
Yes, they're not WWE. You can't wing it. You're not CM Punk. You're not The Rock. You're not Stone Cold. You're not Paul Heyman. You can't just wing it every single time.
And even some of those, you can even tell in WWE when they bring out somebody who's not comfortable.
For sure.
They don't talk, and it's a waste. And yeah. I think that this did not help Britt at all.
No.
And so hopefully they've learned, and they will move forward.
Yes.
So we had the weird segment with SCU. And then the even weirder segment with SCU and the Lucha Brothers.
No, this doesn't make sense. SCU, they cut to this 10-15 second video clip of them
in Washington.
That's where they are, of course. And then it was stupid. They didn't accomplish anything or anything major to cut to them in the arena. Like, it was almost like I can almost picture that they were standing there watching themselves on the video. While they were already out there, meaningless.
Yeah.
And then they come out and just kind of like, and once again, Scorpio, he's a great talent. He's young, you know. He's gonna be bound for great things. But it's too cartoony, you know. So I was thinking, we got the AEW tag team tournament coming up, and who on the SCU is going to be, you know, and I'm going to have to, although I'm confident in my ability, I got to leave it to the veterans,
yeah.
You know, Kazarian and Daniels, and then they kind of give a handshake, and then Phoenix and Pentagon come out, and, you know, it's like, help me out here, what does he say?
Sierra Mero, Sente Mero,
no fear,
whatever it is.
And then they just scrap.
But that's all he ever says, right? That's all Pentagon. I used to really thought he was a really cool character until he started seeing him on TV more. I still think they're overexposed because they've been on AAA, they've been on Lucha Underground, they've been on Impact, now they're on AEW.
And then the brutal acting, where like literally like the female ref is like, ooh, 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 like her eyes are rolled up behind her head and everyone's like, I'm gonna get you. And like one of the, I think it was Phoenix at one point was literally like, oh, I'm going to, and no one's holding him back. No one's actually holding, it was so bad. But at the same time, it's just like, you don't need this stuff yet.
Yeah, I think it's a rush. I think it's a rush to get to competing. I think it was a rush to get to competing with NXT.
Yes.
I think that if they had gone on Thursday instead of Wednesday, they would have had much more freedom to work things out a little more slowly. Done no stories. Just done straight matches, TV, first show, boom.
Yeah.
Then start building your stories from there instead of these preconceived stories.
Oh, God, yeah. All of this was, it was almost like acting as if like we were a year and a half in. It's like they have these things built. No, you need to. It's like, for example, when Chris Jericho came out and was perfect. My name is Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Like, he has to act as if people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But no one else did that. And, you know, and it, like, and especially too, I know we talked about, you know, Cody and Sammy. And number one, Sammy, like, really bad photos. I know we kind of talked about it, but like the whole panda and his little tongue sticking out gimmick thing. Like, I'm sorry. Like, stop. That, I don't care how good he is. Like, every time I see him, I think he's a wiener. Like, it actually takes away from him.
Right.
And it's his heritage or whatever. I don't care. Like, it takes away. It's distracting. It's stupid. Like, especially when you had the big picture. Cody's sitting there in a $1 million suit, big smile to the side. And he's sitting there holding, like, these little paws on, like, a panda going, like, it was the dumbest thing. And I was like, wow, okay. And then the match ends very lowly with a random pin.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, so one thing we haven't talked about yet was Brandon Cutler and MJF.
Yeah.
MJF.
I loved his promo coming out.
And once again, very much like Jericho, like, it's very much like, you don't know who I am? Well, you will know who I am.
He plays his character very, very well.
MJF, like, best heel, best promo in the game right now.
Great.
And it was perfect.
Brandon Cutler, I don't normally know. It was also weird when he went on the...
You would know if you watched Being the Elite.
Right, but I don't. So there's my problem.
100%.
I thought it was a little weird when they went down the Dungeons and Dragons route.
Yeah.
Like, I guess because it's probably featured in Being the Elite or something somewhere that he's, like, he likes board games, which is great. I don't care. I want to know why he's wrestling MJF and why I should care about him wrestling MJF.
And he looked like such a novice.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably pretty nervous, but...
Well, for sure. But also, he makes the outfits and for the wrestlers.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Well, and he's also a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
And once again, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but watching Being the Elite, they signed him. Him and his wife make clothing for wrestlers. Like, they make outfits right. And all that cool stuff. And so he wrestles too, but... In Being the Elite not long ago, you had this whole thing, and once again, I hope I'm getting it right, where Sammy Guevara and Brandon Cutler, Sammy was pretending to be such good friends, literally hanging out, going to shows together, buying him stuff, for him to just, like, steal his passport and he's stranded. It was all a ruse to be able to be like, nerd, and that was it. So why the heck aren't we seeing Brandon Cutler and Sammy Guevara fight if we're going, you know what I mean? Like, it just... That didn't make sense. And once again, MJF looked good. Brandon Cutler looked like a novice, but it was a quick tap out.
Yeah.
Quick armbar little.
He had a name to it, and I was like, I don't really get it.
No, didn't make any sense.
Sands of Time or whatever it was called.
Yeah, whatever it is. So.
What did you think of the Paige Pac match?
So, good. So, here's the inch. So, good match. It was a good match for two different styles. You know, Paige is very athletic. You know, when you kind of look at the two, Pac we know to be very athletic, you know, very strong, but a smaller cruiserweight type wrestler. And Hangman Page is very unique in the sense where he's got that ability to flip. You know, he's got that ability to, you know, showcase big moves and backflip and land on his feet from the top rope to the outside, and you know, but it was harder because you saw how much quicker Pac was to Paige. If anything, it made Paige look a little bit weaker, you know, and especially the fact that he lost.
Yeah.
Pac's 2-0 in AEW. Looks like they're going for the long haul with Pac.
I like it.
I like it. I love it. I think Pac is amazing. They got to stop calling him Pac on TV. It's Pac. That's why I've heard him say it. He doesn't go Pac, it's Pac.
It's because he can't say Pac.
But
it's
even
British.
Like even on the you hear people on the independents Pac, and it's like so Pac is in the ring.
Well, they're you from know, the South.
It's like, well, no, Excalibur kept saying his name every 2 seconds. Pac, look at Pac. Pac's on the top, bro. Pac's in the corner. It's like K.
I also thought it was weird that
too many pronouns.
JR used a, I would assume, trademark. Of WWE. He specifically called Pac the man that gravity forgot.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right.
And
that's
I was
right.
Like, oh. So I feel like there must be something where Vince McMahon said to JR, like, say whatever you want. I don't care. You do your thing. You've earned it.
Yeah.
You know,
just don't dig too low.
Yeah. Or don't criticize.
Or don't bring my name up on TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. So. Let's break down the last match.
Oh, also, just one thing beforehand.
Yeah.
No instant replays.
There was a little bit.
Where?
There was a couple of them.
Maybe there was.
There.
But...
So when Brandy got taken out, there was a replay there.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't right away.
No, but also maybe that was one of maybe two or three.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't that
Rio
many.
Rio winning and no replay.
Yeah.
No, all these big moves, no replay.
Yeah.
And so there was a replay for when Moxley, which we'll get into. So, sorry, I shouldn't say no replays, but very lack of replays is what I should have said.
Yes.
Crazy. Like,
yeah.
Big moments, big moves, like big things that were done and you're not taking any moment to show it again. But no, sorry. Yes, let's get into the main event.
All right. So, first things first. Apparently, in a six-man tag, there is no disqualifications. I don't understand this. No, and this was an opportunity for somebody to explain how it's possible that somebody enters the ring in a shocking moment and starts beating up a guy, and the referee doesn't say anything. And then the guy leaves. So, much. Yeah, so I mean, it's 2-on-3. We have no idea why that is. Here's your opportunity to explain either the referee is knocked out, there, you know, whatever the case may be. Why is it that it's okay for Jonny Moxley to come in and take him all the way to the back of the stage? We're going to keep showing you this.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then still not talk about it in the ring.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff shows that things are very... If you want to cut back and forth, sure. But the fact that there's a camera dedicated and the stuff in the ring is completely ignored and stopped, not okay.
Yeah.
Because that tells me you knew that... it's scripted. We get it. But once again, suspending disbelief, moving forward with a storyline, and, you know, this should be, technically, we should expect this to be very, ooh, whoa, where did this come from? You know, and I remember hearing a bit ago talking about rules and stuff, and, you know, when, the normal rules are, for example, like a tag team. When you tag, you have 5 seconds to do whatever, immunity, and then it has to go back. AEW, it's 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, like... But apparently AEW's view on referee rules is it's all referee discretion.
And you can't do that.
You can't do that.
It's hard for the audience to follow.
Yeah.
Because at one point in time, too, one of them got knocked out. So then the other one came in. I think it was Santana got knocked out. Then Ortiz came in. And then he got thrown out. So then Jericho came in. And I couldn't figure out if Jericho was the legal man because the referee didn't say anything about anything.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Well, especially, too, when you look at the time. You know, the beginning of the match. You know, this match is scheduled for time remaining. Yeah. Wow, time remaining. Oh my God, time remaining. It's 19 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, your matches are 20-minute stipulations. This isn't a hoorah-rah. Moxley coming in, great
yeah.
television, great pop,
yeah.
great moment, because you're continuing the story of
Absolutely.
Kenny and Moxley. Beautiful.
Although but it did make Kenny look like a punk.
It made him look like a punk, but... It happened so quick into the match.
Yeah.
So, it like, if you're going to do that, do it, but have it be at the very last little bit.
Yeah.
You know, let that be the close. Obviously, we got a different close, but it was so... And but once again, everything was... There was no wrestling. It was all high impact. Yeah. I did, like, the Meltzer driver attempt into the code breaker from Jericho.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I will tell you, there was a spot by Nick where he did a couple things in and around the ring. I guess I forget because I'm so get caught up in all the nether nonsense about them. He's smooth.
He's very
when he's going
smooth.
From when he's doing chains from one move to another, like he was very smooth.
Jumping out from in the ring to the outside without even touching the ropes, landing on his feet.
He's there was a lot
smooth.
So I was impressed, but then it all got lost again because everything else gets, you know, blown up and exploded.
100%. So the match itself, once again, to your to what we were talking about earlier, it doesn't, like, why was this match headlining? Why was this match the main? Why was this match a match? Okay.
Yeah.
But to then kind of ruin it right away to get to where you wanted to go, which was Moxley attacking Kenny, taking him out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big ending, Jack Hager coming, Sammy Guevara kicking Cody in the nuts when Cody was trying to help. Don't get me wrong, I popped hard when I saw Hager. Big Jack Swagger fan.
But tell me how this isn't how this isn't WCW.
Yeah, the very first thing, all of a sudden you're going, okay, so Ortiz, Santana, Jericho, Guevara, and Hager, is this a faction?
Yeah, I didn't.
Is this a, why are we, and yes, once again, tune in next week to find out more.
But
why? I almost felt like this was a way to go, hey, by the way, this is the ending of the show. You get the Young Bucks, you get Kenny, you get Jericho, we have LAX here, you got Hager, we got Moxley, Sammy Guevara is still not happy with Cody.
Cody, I understand, like, coming out. I can understand Cody. Because he's got an issue with...
And gold dust.
You know, Cody's got an issue with Jericho from earlier in the show. I understand that. Everything
Perfect.
Else made no sense to me.
Yep.
It was a cluster of whatever. And it feels like this is WCW light. Like, you're bringing up all of these guys who used to be in WWE. Who, their time had come and gone. And they, you know, went off to do something else. And now they're back in this new promotion.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep talking about them, and we're going to keep bringing them up, and instead of like, even the crowd was talking, like, we the people, we the people, oh, we God. The people.
Hager got a huge pop, and I love that.
Yeah, it's just, it's awkward when you're doing we the people, and he can't do we the people.
Right. Well, it'd be funny if he did do it. It's funny, in Bellator, when he's a mixed martial artist, I think he's 2-3-0 now.
Yeah.
Doing quite well, too. He looks great. And, he does the we the people.
But he can, because it's not...
competitive wrestling.
Right, and it's not... Jack Swagger, he's his own person.
Jack Hager, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why these guys are joined together. It didn't make sense to me. I lost track of it, and by the end, it kind of soured some of the better moments.
Yeah.
Because I just was left with, like... And then Jack was, like, awkwardly staring.
Yep. And he looks great.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Former WWE World
face.
Heavyweight Champion, great. But yes, I think at the end of the day, look at what it ended with. We started with Cody. We ended with Cody, Goldust, Bucks.
Yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah.
I don't know why Hangman wasn't out there for whatever reason.
I know. Like, I thought maybe... That was the other thing though. I noticed at the beginning of the match, they called Kenny and the Young Bucks the Elite.
Yes.
Are they? In AEW, when you put any of those guys in a combination, are they the Elite?
Yep,
because you've really not really been clear with how they all fit together. Are they still the Elite?
You know they're the Elite, but they've been very open with, but we will face each other at any time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
It is when you still refer to them as a group.
Yeah.
Together.
But you're a team. Why would you be willing to face each other?
Kenny and the Young Bucks? Okay.
Yep.
But in the real life, they're the Elite, they're the crew.
Yep.
It's the same really odd thing that you have Marty Scurll doing this weird villain enterprise thing now with Flip Gordon and Ring of Honor.
Flip Gordon's the only good thing about that damn group.
Is he part of the Elite? Because he's really, merchandise-wise, still part of the Elite. Everything else...
Oh, I'm convinced that all of that was purely, number one, he still had some commitments in Ring of Honor, so did Flip. He wanted to be able to do his own thing, but I feel that this was a way to go, let us build this, and then you'll be a hot show up one day. That's what I think it's going to be. One day, and it should be a while, maybe a year from now, if they're still on TV.
How do you maintain a friendship like that, though? And how do you maintain as part of the Elite if you go so long without associating yourself with them?
Oh, but that's the easy part. Oh my God, that
I forgot.
You know what I mean? Like
you
that
were part of the group.
No one forget these friggin' people who watch the 1.4 million people who watched apparently.
So I will tell you one thing I liked. So we have it on TSN now, which is
I
great.
Love how Wikipedia is so inaccurate. October 2nd, Dynamite debuted an average of 1.409 million viewers. NXT, blah, 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 blah. They doubled score. What have
been in that demographic.
Oh, in that demographic. Okay, right.
Oh, they stole us. They stole our name.
Wednesday Night Wars.
We did that first.
We did that first.
So, one other thing, though, is I like it's on TSN. I'm all for it.
Yes.
We get it. TSN website had a article on Dynamite, which means they're acknowledging that they have this product, which I like. I'm hoping that as Dynamite grows, we will get an Aftermath type show. So I really liked Aftermath before when it was even the host after Renee Paquette. I can't remember her name. She's very nice. I met her in Toronto. I'm not a big fan of the one that they have now. But I also don't like that Santino Morella's out there because he's just so unbelievably miserable. But I liked when they had the other crew.
Yeah. Are you saying you hope AEW has a show like that?
I do.
Too soon.
No, that's what I'm saying. Soon. No, not right now. I'm hoping that TSN will continue to participate.
Okay.
In acknowledging that this exists.
Because it was like Impact, this after show, we have a network, we have a development. It's like, slow the hell down.
Yeah. No.
Holy crap.
I mean, so like, Aftermath is run by people from TSN. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So I hope that if AEW continues to grow and establishes them as a legitimate show, and TSN, I hope, continues to be an active participant in that if they get enough established, that we will see a Aftermath type show for AEW, a Canadian show, that if at the very least you don't want to follow AEW, watch it every week. You can watch this show, get your, you know, your summaries and, you know, get a feeling of things. And then I like those shows because I actually like some of the things they talk about. So I'm hoping.
Yeah.
It's more that I'm hoping.
But they need some stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Right? I'm just, I'm more hoping that TSN will be a more active participant.
No, I get what you mean.
In presenting this. So for now, it's on TSN 2 for the first 4 weeks, and then it moves to TSN 3. I don't know if that's because something else is coming up. But what's interesting is TSN 3 is the Winnipeg feed, which may or may not be related to the fact that Chris Jericho is from Winnipeg.
Oh, God.
But
I don't know if I would look that. Probably not.
But, you know, so as long as they keep airing it, I'm all on board. I think it's the best chance that the AEW has to grow in Canada.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing, the big question about amongst anything or anything they're going to do is how do they maintain 1.4 versus NXT's, you know, just about 900,000 viewers. It's because of one thing, you know, which was the first show ever.
Yeah.
People wanted to see. Yes. My worry is
it's
that...
It's average 1.4 million off one show. That's not an average, that's just the actual number.
Well, yes, that's just the actual number. So... When you look at this type of stuff, it's about maintaining. They have the right passionate fans behind them, I believe, to maintain. My worry is seeing what they've been doing, how everything is very gimmicky, everything doesn't make sense, because they are mostly all novices and with lack experience. My worry is how are you going to, especially to, let's be honest, if WWE, like, if they want to be competitive, all they got to do is literally go, okay, by the way, hey, USA Network, hey, Fox, you guys just had UFC on, right? Where people beat the crap out of each other and swear and blood all over the TV, right? Okay, we're going to go back to 14A like we did in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And we're going to mix it up a little bit.
Well, I think they will. Like, I think they're going to introduce some a little more...
Edgy.
Edgy, without going full-on... Ruthless Aggression or Attitude Era, but I think they're realize that the demographic where they're actually going to make money, the kids are going to love it no matter what.
Yeah, JR just has to stop saying shit all the time. He said it like four times.
I don't think I even noticed. Yeah. I think it's because it's so used to be my vocabulary. Yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he dropped the shit.
You know, they did mention a couple times that they're 14A.
Yeah.
So all right.
But no. But overall, so yeah. That was a lot of ranting. That was our take on AEW's first show on TNT Dynamite, or AEW Dynamite on TNT.
Yep.
Oh. But no, honestly, I would have to give it a meh. Like, I thought it was, you know, hey, a good effort, but too much. And you're talking to, and you know me, I'm the optimistic, give him a chance, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be a WWE mark by any means, but I just felt that... You know, with all the things you said and all the ability to look around you and the history of, hey, WCW, AWA, NWA, WWWF, WWF, WWE, look at all the things that they've done and people have criticized this, their first show, a lot of the stuff they just did.
Yeah.
You know, that worries me to say, like, what have you learned? Are you really aware of what works and what doesn't work?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to be a carbon copy of what WWE is?
Yeah.
You know, or what WCW was?
I compare this show to 205 Live. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of potential, but either they're going to get it right or they're not going to get it right.
Right.
Side note, apparently 205 Live is moving back to Friday, and it's going to run on right after SmackDown. They've also now changed the title. It's now NXT Cruiserweight Championship.
Yep.
So they've really established that it's...
Leo Rush is going to win that belt next week.
It's part of the NXT brand. But I think that there's lots of potential if they get it right, but it could really blow up in their face if they're not careful.
Right. I'm curious. How can we go to NXT's... What was NXT's first show last week's ratings?
I don't know. You have to Google it.
You want to Google
NXT on USA Network ratings? .68. I don't know what that means. Oh no, never mind. That's not what I wanted. How about we go with this?
Let's see here. Okay, yes, everyone's going to talk about.
What was the date of it? Well, you said it was last week, right?
It was last Wednesday, yeah. So let's go 25th of September. I'm just curious. Did they break a million? Did they not break a million?
1.2.
Hey. So right there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's good that they broke a million too. So now here's where the pun intended war comes in, right? Is that it's going to be playing a tug of war where, you know, but also it's really hard with ratings because we're in a digital era.
Yep.
You know, people don't have cable anymore. People watch things later or stream it or
yep.
Hulu or whatever.
And I know that Bischoff and Pritchard talk about that you can't really... ratings don't carry the same weight anymore. And God, Sam Roberts no. is the same thing.
God, no. Yeah. So, all right, cool. So I want to take a really quick break. And then when we get back, do a little quick
We'll do our best.
Hell in a Cell.
We'll do our best to preview a pay-per-view that has three matches.
Three matches. Here we go.
All right, we'll be back.
Right back. She'll never fall in love. She'll never fall in love. A dude was approaching, chick with swagger. He danced with the moves like he was Jagger. Papa was around us now. It's not her fault. She's all alone. She's all alone. Trust issues. That's where the drizzy. Ain't got time for guys. She's too busy. Spinning there. Welcome back, everyone. Hello. Hi. Kyle, how are you?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. All right. So, last segment of the show, we're going to go over
the
huge card. And it's massive. Saying it's huge.
It's going to take a good 40 minutes to get through. I mean, that is the entire pay-per-view, 100%. Not just our review.
Hell in a Cell, this coming Sunday. Unfortunately for Hell in a Cell, we only have three official matches right now. And I know usually we can kind of talk about, like, well, three official matches, but more to come. There's not more to come, necessarily. We have some brainstorming we can kind of go over, but what we do know is this Friday, on the debut episode of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, that's where we're going to assumingly see some more matches put together. There's no way a major pay-per-view only has three, especially when they've been having an average of, like, 9 to 11, 12 matches per pay-per-view. So, let's break it down, kind of see what we're going to be going into, like the matches that we know we're going to be going into, anything we want to add to it, and then we'll kind of brainstorm what else we could add. So, no specific order. Number three, we have Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, the Bludgeon Brothers.
I hope they don't go back to the Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, imagine. Just take a mallet.
I don't want them to. Bah. I don't mind them as they are now. Bah. I just don't want them to go back to the full, like, wearing tight onesies and you know, just I'm okay with what they're doing now. I feel like you've ruined an excellent heel in Daniel Bryan.
Nope.
You've lost track.
Nope.
No, you've lost
He's
track of him.
Stab Roman right in the back.
No, it doesn't even matter, though. Yes, it doesn't even matter. Because he was better at when he had an amazing set of promos against AJ Styles. He did a great job with Kofi Kingston. He was a fantastic heel. People actually were able to hate him. After loving him for so many years.
Of course.
He was a phenomenal heel. Then they kind of were like, crap, what do we do with him? Okay, Rowan, you're going to help out. They're going to be the Eco Warriors. And then didn't really work. And then they're like, well, you just hang tight, Daniel. We'll figure out something. Okay, now be crazy. For this episode, you just be crazy. And then they lose him again. And now everyone's cheering him again because all it takes is Eric Rowan shoving his face through a table a couple of times. And now he's a good guy again. I know you think he's going to...
I think there's still more to see.
I just don't...
And once again, too, like I've said, and I think WWE is very much in a standstill where they're getting through some stuff.
Yeah.
The draft is going to be the big one. That's where everything is going to get reset. I think they're surviving right now, and it has happened to come to a pay-per-view, and... You know, being one of the big ones of the... Well, I guess not a big one of the year, but like a major one people look forward to in Hell in a Cell. But no, I think all of this... I think everything changes within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But regardless, yes. We've seen a really long, big story to get where we are, so we know why we're here. However, you know, yeah. Where does Daniel go from here? I like that Roman is still in that middle... Where they're not just still catapulting him to the top yet.
Yep.
Rowan's getting a lot more exposure. Great to see Luke Harper back. But what does this all mean? Where are we going? Why are we here? And then the big question is Daniel actually mad at Rowan for lying, or is he going to stab Roman in the back? You know, I don't know. And I'm on the side of stab Roman in the back. Too good to be true.
Yeah.
You know, because a crazy heel would be crazy enough to put himself in that position to make it seem. Or this is the ending of something, and then they part their own ways in the draft or wherever not. And but I do think this is going to turn into a Daniel Bryan Roman match.
I want to see... Actually, I really wanted to see a clean cut. Luke Harper. It means been running this hobo look for years. I just think it'd be a nice to see him doing something different. I'm okay with this version of them. I'm okay with them two together. I know he has been probably non-hobo in the past. But this is their last shot, I think. This is their last shot as a tag team to really do something before one or both goes. And so I want this to be a good match. I think that there's been enough story to deserve a good match. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to see him. I want to see him as a clean-cut high school kid. But wrestling. Yeah, I want to see him tag with Cesaro as two bald guys with clean-shaven faces. So I think that there's... this is the one, you know, I think that there is a good story. It's something we can follow along. And so I appreciate this one. I just hope it's a good match. Otherwise, while there was a rough spot with Eric Rowan trying to kill Roman Reigns, we're at least at a point where we can watch a match and it'll be a very enjoyable match. I think that it's going to go to Rowan and Harper. I think that you have to give it to them. One way or another. If Daniel Bryan, you know, screws Roman, the one thing I've appreciated lately about Roman is he's willing to lose. Well, he may not have a choice, but they're letting him lose. He doesn't win every match, which allows more opportunities and options within your stories.
Daniel's going to stab him in the back.
That's fine. And that's fine.
He's going to get a bunch of yes, 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 and then no, no, no's.
That's fine. No, okay with that.
No, just jokes aside. No, it's true. It's true. It's nice to see, you know, I guess, you know, a weird analogy, but it's, you know, it's nice to see Superman be vulnerable every now and a bit.
Yeah.
It reminds you, you know what I mean? Roman Reigns became like really overpowered, really, really strong, undefeatable, unless A, B, and C happened. And it's nice to see that he's struggling a little bit and he's a little human. But I guess we'll see. Once again,
I think that when you allow them to lose, you do offer more options, which is where the next match with The Fiend, you're going to run into some challenges if he can't be beaten. Because only so far, and then if he does lose at some point in time, then what?
Yeah, and, you know, once again, that looks to be, of course, the main. But, you know, Seth Rollins versus The Fiend has had a really good build to it, which I appreciate. And the build starts long back.
Yep.
Several months ago with Firefly Funhouse, you know, like Mr. Rogers, Bray Wyatt,
I would say that's the only part that's been lacking in the last couple of weeks is solid Firefly Funhouse episodes.
Really?
I really did prefer when he was all nice.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
And I still would have really loved Luke Harper showing up and being over-animated,
Uncle super Dale. Positive
guy.
Hey.
That would have been amazing.
Uncle
but,
Luke.
Yeah, I just feel like The Fiend has really taken over.
Yes.
And I think there was some opportunities to really still play the both sides. But... it's still a story that works. Seth is clearly bothered by it. I hope that they figure out how to utilize the cage and the cell to really... and not do what they did with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton with the maggots on the ring. But maybe we do get something else physical in the ring. That if you're going to give it to Bray, that it's really like Seth was just... destroyed mentally and just couldn't.
Well, yeah, you got to be very, very, very careful in this match. You have built Seth Rollins to be Superman.
Yeah.
You know, cleanly defeating Braun, cleanly defeating Brock. 2018, probably the superstar of the last decades plus. He looks good, great in the ring, untouchable. Like he's got everything going for him right now. But then Bray, you know, if you put the title on Bray, what's next. And I really hope if they do put the title on him, that Vince or whoever has the next 6 months to a year booked out for what it's going to look like for Bray Wyatt. Because you've got to be very careful putting a world title on someone like that kind of character.
And he can't go back to the old Bray where he just keeps losing all the time.
I think that's the fun thing with this Fiend is I think you can go back to even like many different reiterations of Bray, whether it's like the old look, new look, even himself just as Bray.
Like three faces of Foley, but three faces of Bray?
Yeah, well, I think when you're dealing with someone demonic, the unexpected is open, right? And but no, I think it's interesting, you know. We didn't see Braun this week. We saw Braun last week getting attacked, costing him the match against Seth, really taking Braun out. Braun being a former Wyatt family member, you know, it's interesting how, like, there was no real connection to that brought up. You know, so is Braun going to be back for revenge? Is maybe that the smart reason why Braun wasn't here yet? Or this week on SmackDown? On Raw? Because maybe let's forget him for a week, but then he shows up and it makes sense. People love Braun, and he when he's pissed, he's pissed. So, but also if Bray loses, losing in a way that way makes sense because it takes no heat off of Bray. But it's one of those things where he lost because someone interfered, you know, and that's the way you keep someone strong is if they lose, but they lose because of a technicality.
What I would really love to see is if Bray loses, whoever beats him goes and rips off the Fiend's mask to discover it's not Bray.
Who is it?
I don't know. But if you take it off and be like, oh my God, I didn't defeat the Fiend. I just fought some guy. And that way you can kind of move the story into another direction. Like, Santino, oh my God.
Tuna Morella!
Right, but whatever it is, but it's just a way of when you have this character, though, that goes around and killing everybody.
Sorry, go ahead.
But, like, and he loses, that's it. There's no coming back from it. There's no, like, oh, that one time I lost, but don't worry, the Fiend is still bad. Oh, I see what you're saying. I know exactly. The problem is they're not quite the same size.
No. Bo Dallas in a new version, non-Bo.
Well, somebody was joking.
Come, and that's how he either wins.
Right.
And keep Seth strong.
Yes.
Is like this Fiend is stronger.
Yeah.
And I think because Bo's got a unique good look to him too. Like with his beard and everything else. And Bo's a great character. So
one of the things I found interesting, somebody was joking on Twitter, that the Bo was going to come back as the friend in a clown costume and he was going to face off against the Fiend as the friend.
No, I think if he comes back, I think he's going to
He's
going to be with Bray.
I think how the problem is that they're not quite the same size, but I think if you figure out a way of like the mask comes off, like, oh, I'm going to finally destroy this. And like, oh my God, it's not even him. And
oh,
then,
if we're still talking about, I'm not even talking about Bo and the, I know what you mean. I see what you mean. That could be a way to go.
But you're saying that Bo comes as part of the Fiend's
crew.
I
think he comes and he adds, and like, because think about it. When he has that, like, think of Bo Dallas's smile. Now think of that smile very strained.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's got that big, wide-eyed, like almost like it could be that such a over, like a laughter and a smile so big it's creepy. But no, that'd be interesting. But they would have to do it in a good way where, number one, Bray's very unique. He's got those tattoos. He's got that big build.
Yeah.
He's a husky guy, but he's very, especially Bray now, Bray's very muscular right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got that build. He's got that unique build to him. So to put someone else, you'd have to do something crafty where almost at a moment,
lights go out,
someone else is in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then for a hot minute, they do something enough where you don't think it's, you know, you kind of think it's him, but it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be interesting. But yeah, no, I think, but once again, all of this to wrap up on this match, this is what's great about this storyline is we don't know where it's going. And I love that. And I think, you know, hats off to WWE for putting us in this position where I'm excited to find out where we're going to go.
Yeah.
So, So, all right, third match of the night, probably going to be the co-main.
I Becky think it's going to open.
It's going to open.
I think they're going to do a bookend Hell in the Cell matches.
I think it's going to be the pre-show.
I think they'll do bookend Hell in the Cell matches.
Maybe. But Becky Lynch defending her Raw Women's Championship once again against Sasha Banks.
Yep.
So they fought previously at Clash of Champions.
Yep.
With Becky winning. Obviously, they've done a really good job at continuing the angst that Sasha has for Becky, and you know, the now that if anything, it was the my time, I deserve. Now it's I was screwed. You know, it's so once again, and we know what these two are made out of, and we know it's going to be great. So, what are we looking at here?
Oh, I was just reviewing the. I'm interested because Becky's been. I thought she was the longest holding. It doesn't make any sense that the numbers on this is 179 for Kofi and 178 for Becky, but they won the same night. So Becky and Kofi, in terms of main roster belts, are the longest holding title. And I feel like they're going to really hold Becky with this title.
That's because Becky won after midnight.
Oh, that's some poop.
It's a new day.
I don't count it. It's a new day. Yes, it is. So I think this is a retribution match for Sasha. Her last Hell in the Cell did not go well.
With Charlotte? Really?
Where they couldn't break the table.
Well, okay, but then they came back with a big table bump.
Like, it wasn't...
It's because she's 50 pounds.
I know, it wasn't exactly what they were... I don't think it went as well as they were hoping.
Right. So I think outside of that spot...
Yeah, I think that this, though, is the really opportunity. Sasha needs to come back and be vicious and just, you know, be merciless and take every weapon and beat the crap out of her.
I think Sasha wins. Because Becky's held it enough that... We're now used to her as champion, and the fact that she will chase the championship will be something refreshed.
I'm just concerned that they're going to end up being like Becky, like Sasha and Charlotte, and Sasha could, for whatever reason, they wouldn't let her defend her title. She literally lost every match that she was the champion. She never successfully retained. She's had it four times, and the next match, Charlotte beat her each of the four times. When they went, especially when they did that back and forth, like
swap. Becky and Charlotte,
no, Sasha and Charlotte.
Oh, okay, right, both right, Raw. Right.
So
right,
I just that's fine if you're gonna give it to Sasha, let her hold it.
So I think you hold it and then you build something hell towards Mania or the Rumble.
Yeah,
because I think with Sasha not being the, you know, when Sasha, you know, a while back was the champion and it was the big joke where she was. You know, she actually literally did not hold the belt longer than a week or 2 weeks.
Yes.
And she was the four-time champ in a small period of time. I think it's been enough now where watching her defeat it and then watching her as a heel put it in Becky's face.
Yeah.
Putting it and then having another match, but then Sasha finding a way to win. Bayley finding a way to help her.
Yeah.
And then eventually it could be a great payoff. Sasha and Becky at Mania or Rumble, and where Becky gets that big one back while, you know, October, November, December, January, February, March, 6-7 months, we're watching Becky chase to the point where we want her to grab it again. You know, it's...
So the challenging part you're going to run into is brand split.
Well, of course.
Right, but brand split means Sasha and Becky... Sorry, Sasha and Bayley need to be on the same show, or that partnership is gone.
Of course.
So
everything changes.
But that's
after
what I mean.
We see where the brand split.
Right.
Is.
So I feel like Becky's gonna win, stay on Raw. Sasha's gonna slide over and be with Bayley on SmackDown, or.
But then not be friends anymore because they both want the belt.
No, but they're gonna work together. Because I think what's going to end up happening is that one of them's going to... I think that Bayley will lose.
Layla and Michelle McCool, they'll break the title in half, and they'll be like co-champions?
No, not quite. Or Sasha wins, and Bayley rolls into Raw, and Becky goes back over to SmackDown.
Yeah, either which way, I think there's a good opportunity to split the females up, where now we're in a position where the division is so big.
Yeah.
Becky, Charlotte... You know, Bayley, Alexa, Nikki, Lacey, you know, the list goes on and on
yep.
and on, that you can actually have it, boom, boom, on each side. So, yeah, no, that'd be good. But no, so okay, so those are our three matches, and you know, you brought one up earlier that's definitely could be interesting, and something we just saw this past Monday was the Rusev Bobby Lashley segment.
That was
very cringy, very frightening. For those of you who may not have seen it, or just to recap, you know, Rusev was, you know, looking great, looking strong, looking good, good match against Seth Rollins. But then all of a sudden, boom, boom, Walking Armageddon comes out, and, you know, Bobby Lashley's back. We haven't seen Bobby in a while, but all of a sudden, throws that hand out, like you brought up earlier, kind of like that long wait, and then all of a sudden, boom, Lana's theme hits. She comes out in her little, you know, her little gear, little mini skirt and jean jacket, and spins her around, does this weird, awkward little hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo hug. But then a big old smooch and a kiss.
And then another one, and another one. And it was just super awkward and uncomfortable.
And Rusev did nothing, as, you know, which was also okay, because he was in shock.
But it just felt like somebody missed a cue, whatever the case may be. Yep. However, I'm on board with a Rusev-Bobby match.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think they could do some really good stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
I just... They could have led to this better.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
Lana and Dolph, years ago, and then... Lana and Rusev got married, and posted the Instagram pic and ruined it all. And then I was like, oh, damn it. So I almost feel like they're trying to go like, well, it's been a little bit. It's been a few years now. This was working.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do a Bobby instead of Dolph.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but people like us remember that stuff and go, no.
So, I think there'll be a Rusev-Bobby match.
Okay, we're going to call a Rusev-Bobby match.
Yeah.
Bayley-Charlotte? Is that going to turn into something on SmackDown
It's really tough because we have that tag match on Friday. I think if it does, I think it shows up on the pre-show.
A little pre-show? Okay.
I think so. I think there's going to be a SmackDown Women's Championship match on the pre-show.
Okay.
May not be Charlotte. Could be Ember. Could be Carmella. Because Carmella and Bayley had that thing last time where Carmella stepped in. So we could have that.
We're going to see, so the big question is the United States Championship. Are we going to see a Cedric AJ again? Or are we going to see an OC AJ Gallows Anderson versus what we've been seeing, Viking Raiders and Cedric Alexander?
I'm thinking what we might get is just Viking Raiders versus the OC.
Okay, that'd be good. The OC's been getting some good, Gallows and Anderson's been getting some good TV time, and they've been looking good, better and better lately.
The Viking Raiders are just in a tough spot because they're a unique tag team. They're not, well, they look a strong and they're big, but they're not AOP daunting big.
Right.
Right? They're not tall guys.
Right.
So I think they match up well with the OC. I just think at some point in time you have to do something more with them. But right. I could feel like that match might happen. Again, that one could be a
who knows?
Yeah. Pre-show match. Maybe, whatever the case may be.
Can we determine the Cruiserweight Championship is not going to be on the show because the Cruiserweight Championship is now on NXT.
Right.
Next week, Drew Gulak taking on, defending his title against Leo Rush. Super excited for that Leo Rush is back. It was a great time away after he got some heat in the back. Great to see him back. He's a great, great talent. And I really hope he wins the Cruiserweight Championship because I think he could take that with his mic skills and make it something.
Be like an Enzo Amore, but with actual in-ring ability.
Yeah. So we talked earlier, of course, we're calling a maybe potential question mark a Braun interfere in the main, but we won't see Braun in a match.
No, I can't see it.
So no match for Braun. Brock versus Rey.
So I honestly think that if Brock beats Kofi
on SmackDown,
SmackDown, you will see a Brock versus Rey match on Hell in a Cell. If somehow Brock loses or whatever, I just can't see Brock being in a match that isn't for a belt or is a key driver in the next, like, you know, whether it's Money in the Bank or whatever it is, the next match needs to be a championship match. Otherwise, otherwise it'll be staying on a SmackDown or Raw.
Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Intercontinental picture.
Maybe? I don't know. They haven't really, The Miz is there, but not there.
We haven't really seen anything build from... Who did they attack last? Nakamura. I can't even remember who it was.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the awkward thing, because we are the draft. It's really bad timing for Hell in a Cell.
And that's why I think we're not seeing many builds, because it's not worth putting big time into things when
I just feel like
the course of everything is going to change.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, with Crown Jewel coming, it just doesn't help Hell in a Cell's case.
Nope, not at all. Corbin, are we going to see, maybe see him maybe in something? Corbin Gable.
I can't see Corbin Gable 3.
No.
Maybe Corbin, I don't know who it would be, because he's on Team Flair with Randy, but you're not going to put them like, in a match with... They haven't announced any other people.
Right, Corbin Rusev?
No, because I think it's going to be Rusev Bobby.
Oh, sorry, Rusev
Bobby.
Yeah,
so I don't think so.
Tag Team Championships. So we have Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler holding the Raw, and we have The Revival holding the SmackDown. I would assume one of the other, or at very least the SmackDown, will be something will come from maybe Friday Night SmackDown. So I'm going to say no Bobby and Dolph.
You think it's going to be
a Revival versus...
Someone. I don't know who.
Like won't be the Usos. Heavy Machinery.
Do they really get both opportunities?
I don't know.
AOP, we're still waiting on. I don't know how long we're going to wait for these vignettes. They've been in the ring for about 8 matches in the entire 4 years. They've been called up.
I'm interested in that. They have that makes me think of the Salamanca cousins from Breaking Bad. Were just very stone faced, speaking a different language, cartel look.
Yeah, they're you know, thugs for hire.
Yeah.
I just struggle with how do you carry them through again? Super strong, super dominating. You gotta be able to let them lose and not ruin their heat ruin their ability.
I think one thing we also need to do and. Everyone is we don't always need to think of how do we get someone to an ability where they're at the best and top. No. Sometimes it can just be that.
Yeah.
AOP can do this little gimmick thing and then we can just be happy with it.
Are we though? Because they keep getting, they're not very strong in the ring even still.
Well, they were before the injury.
But even there were some question marks. There were some question marks surrounding some of the, especially the live shows.
Well, I think what was hard is it was stifled. They came in, had a couple of matches. Then the weird... Drake Maverick thing.
Yeah.
But then they were doing a lot. They were doing what they're seeing with like a lot of like the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
Local talent. And then it just kind of got taken away from an injury on a house show. So it's really hard to think of what that build could have been. If it might not be anything. Yeah. Might not be anything at all. So, okay. So maybe we'll think of a SmackDown tag title match. But we'll have to see.
Could be the Major Brothers. It could be the B Team.
Or maybe... What SmackDown could also be is a bunch of returns or debut. John Morrison.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Got leaked. Apparently, that was a bad one. Apparently, got leaked that John Morrison is coming back on SmackDown. He signed again with WWE.
I don't know.
It's time for him to come home. Hey, when he was there, man,
I know, but he had his thing. He was doing really well, and then he hit Impact, and he really took a dive.
Well, it's because Impact, that's why he left Impact. Like a year ago, almost.
Yeah.
You know, even though you've kind of been seeing him on TV, somebody has been gone for like a year.
The Starship thing, I just can't get behind. The, whatever you called it?
No, you just got to let him be John Morrison.
Yeah,
him be the John Morrison
I'm only bits and pieces because I wasn't watching when he was with The Miz. But I know they did well.
Yeah. Valkyrie? Do we see Taya Valkyrie in WWE?
I don't know.
She's been with them everywhere.
I'm not a big fan of her, to be honest.
No,
with you.
But I think
does she
aside but, like an on TV bow piece? Ugh. But maybe she goes to NXT and
but
learns.
But I can't see her in that bow piece because she's a commanding presence.
She is. So she very much is. She's a big personality.
You know what though? I put her in the same, probably in the same category as Ember Moon, where we get some potential, but we're not.
Yeah. I think that one of those it's one of those we'd have to see.
I think if she
how
joins,
it would even be if she was in.
I think if she joins, she's gonna get buried.
Maybe.
I think that's what's gonna happen.
Maybe.
And I don't think that's the right move for her.
But I think the worry necessarily isn't will she get buried. I think do we see her is the main is probably the upfront question.
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe so, we do see Johnny Morrison's.
I think we see John Morrison, and I think we see John Morrison in a match.
Do we perhaps
at Hell in a Cell?
See John Morrison with The Miz versus Sammy and Shinsuke in a tag?
As The Miz and John Morrison are former WWE Tag Team Champions.
There you go.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Is there anything else that we think might appear? I can't really think of anything else.
Insane. No.
They're just kind of throw-together matches.
I think, yeah. Like, let's not try to hammer it too hard there. But at the end of the day, I'm excited. I think it's a very exciting time. I really appreciated that WWE sent out that message congratulating AEW. Mm-hmm. Because I think the number one thing, it is the fans that won. Monday Night Raw, you know, there's always something independently. But we have Wednesday Night Wars.
We have Impact on Tuesday.
We have Impact on Tuesday.
It turns out it was Beyond Wrestling is the one that does their show on Thursdays.
Right. You have Friday Night SmackDown. We have pay-per-views. We have many different things. So, you know, and once again, don't think you need to pick a side. Watch it all.
Yep.
Watch whatever you want to watch. Love my WWE. I'm going to watch my WWE. I'm going to support my WWE, regardless of how good anything else is. Because I get them. I watch them. I follow them. Part of my childhood. But no, I'm excited for SmackDown. We're going to see Stone Cold. We're going to see The Rock. We're going to see The Undertaker. It's going to be a really big anniversary because it's going to be the 20-year anniversary of the show. But also, it's going to be a new era. So I think we're going to get glimmers of people to kind of help hype. Yeah. But I think everything is going to be set around the new era.
Question for you before we go. Since when does Raw have a season opener?
Every year.
I have never heard them refer to a season opener.
Every year.
And why is it in October?
Every year.
I did not know that.
Every year.
I was like, they keep mentioning, I'm like, I don't remember hearing about this ever.
Every year. They consider it's like almost like us at the bank. We have like our physical year is November 1st to October 31st.
I just don't remember them ever specifically mentioning that.
Yeah,
last season.
Every year. Every year. Every single year.
Well, there you go. What do I know? All right.
Especially when you look at even IMDb, they're on their 28th season.
But what is it, always the same week?
Yeah. September, around the same time every single year.
What do I know?
Year.
Apparently nothing.
September, October-ish, depending on where it lands each Monday. Yeah. Every single year.
Interesting.
They do the opener around this time.
So, we have other things to discuss with Raw in terms of other things, but we'll leave that for another episode because there's the new commentating and there's the new stage and all that other stuff, but I think we'll leave that.
Yeah, I would just say just very quick comments because I almost feel like it'll get lost. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we will touch it at some point because we'll talk about Raw. Next week's episode is going to be a big episode. We're going to go over our draft.
That's correct.
We're going to go over Hell in a Cell recap.
Correct, Amundo.
As well as we're going to do
SmackDown.
We're going to have SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah.
And then anything notable on AEW and things like that, and NXT. But no, overall, very just highlights. Great new stage on Raw.
Yep.
Great new entrance music.
Yep.
The pyro is back.
Love the pyro.
Pyro's great. Pyro made AEW look stupid with their little spark. But no, I thought the look was great. I thought Raw was a little bit edgier. But I think, once again, everything is... They're biding their time until this draft.
Yeah, and then
you're going to see Bischoff and Heyman go ham.
Yeah.
Moving towards into the new year.
I want them to compete.
They will compete.
I want them to compete because, again, like Monday Night Wars, like Wednesday Night Wars, internal competition creates better shows.
Yeah.
And I think it also keeps people in check.
Yep.
If you're competing against SmackDown, if you're Raw and you're competing against SmackDown for ratings or for whatever, you need to keep in check.
Yep.
You can't go off the deep end and just do crazy stuff. You got to keep yourself in check. So yes, as Mark said, next week is going to be a big episode. We're going to do our draft. We're going to cover the pay-per-view. We're going to cover SmackDown. So stay tuned for that. And a shout out, Fantasy Draft. Tomorrow's the deadline. We already got some entries in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So don't forget to send us a message with your picks. We'd love to have as many people in there just to get, you know, to get it going, get some competition. Again, it's free. And all you have to do is pick one wrestler in each of the 16 boxes. And I will do the rest. I will figure out the points. I will put up the standings. You can just enjoy and see where it goes. So, once again, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Mark.
And thank you very much for joining the Pro Wrestling Outsiders show.
No sweet me.
No sweet.
We just did a weird thing with our hands. We don't know what it is yet.
And we will catch you all next week.
Friday night, SmackDown, CM Punk return. It's happening.
You're crazy.
Best in the world. Peace.
Peace.